Kids are processing down. I'll ask for all the little kids to come join me up here for our children's moment. And all the helpers that are helping, if you all will join me up here as well. We're going to gather right here to start with. Come on down. Oh, we got a traffic jam. Oh, you guys come over here. Over this way. Over this way. Come towards a stranger. There you go. Y'all want to come around this way? Oh, y'all come on over this way. How are you all doing this morning? Well, that's good. Well, my name's Matt. I'm the new pastor here. That's why I'm wearing a robe. Y'all doing all right this morning? What do I have here in my hand? A bag. Yeah, you can answer the questions I ask you. That's totally okay. I have a bag here, and do you know what's in this bag? Can you guess? Enough. The worst bag ever. There's nothing in it. There's nothing in it because I didn't put anything in it. But what I want to do in the coming weeks is to have one of you all take this home each week and put something in it. And when you bring it back the next Sunday, I'm going to talk about what's in it and try to relate it to God in some form. Now, I've done pretty well for myself in the past, even though my wife has tried to trip me up a few times. But this empty bag, it can kind of represent us from time to time. We never know what God is going to bring our way. We never know exactly what He's going to give us or hand us. And it's up to us to try to figure out how best to be faithful to Him, right? So I only have three rules with this bag. Rule number one is if I don't know what it is, you have to explain it to me. Rule number two is it cannot be living. And rule number three is it can't have ever been living. Okay? So do we have any volunteers to take this bag the first? Now, we won't do this next week because we've got VBS, but we'll do this in a couple weeks. So do we have any volunteer that wants to take it this first time? Oh, he in the back. You come on up this way. What's your name? William. Why? Everyone's saying, uh-oh, why? All right, what are the rules again? It cannot be alive. It cannot have ever been alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is. All right, so here you are, sir. And you will get to pick who gets the bag next time, okay? All right, now we're going to pray, and then you all can follow those adults to wherever it is you go and do whatever it is you do, all right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for this day that You've given to us, for these children, for the opportunity we have not only to keep them but to learn from them as well. We pray that You would continue to surround them this day and always with Your love and grace, and may they grow into the men and women that You have called them to be. We love You, we thank You, we praise You, and ask again all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can head on that way. I do so far. I'm younger than Mike, so I'm able to get up real easy from that, even though he says, oh, come with me, bud. Here, come here. You want to go with him? No? You want to sit with Mommy? You go sit with Mommy. Oh, you just want to stay put? Well, here, come here. Come on. You go with Mr. There you go.
Scripture lesson I wanted to just share with you, and first of all, thank you all for your prayers and concerns for my brother David. Daddy just wanted to me to update you a little bit. David is home. He did get to come home yesterday. He after 10 days in the hospital, so he's doing pretty well. He still has a long road, so I just ask that you keep him and Daddy and Linda in your prayers, and Stacy. Linda's actually gone to D.C. and going to be going with her son Ben, driving them to Colorado where he'll be stationed in the Air Force. And so we still have a lot of care to give David. Do what? And also Ms. Himes and Mr. Himes, they're watching, and they're requiring a lot of care now too. So. But just wanted to let you know that David is home, and we thank you for all your prayers and concerns. Okay, so today I am reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62, and Brother Matt has asked that I read from the Common English Bible. As the time approached when Jesus was to be taken up into heaven, He determined to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers on ahead of Him. Along the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for His arrival. But the Samaritan villagers refused to welcome Him because He was determined to go to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do You want us to call fire down from heaven to consume them?" But Jesus turned and spoke sternly to them, and they went on to another village. As Jesus and His disciples traveled along the road, someone said to Him, "I will follow follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, and the birds in the sky have nests, but the human one has no place to lay his head." Then Jesus said to someone else, "Follow me." He replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of God's kingdom." Someone else said to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to those in my house." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for God's kingdom." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We'll only do that as long as it's God's word.
Okay. All right.
Good morning. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you again so very much for this day that you have given to us. For the reading and the hearing of your word, we give you praise. We pray now that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not my words. May you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and give us the strength and the bodies that you have given to us to do that which you have called us to do. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Christ's name, amen. By way of introduction this morning, again, my name is Matt Steele. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Glad to hopefully be spending the next several years here with you. On behalf of Abby and Joel and Nora, we are humbled and very appreciative of the warm welcome that we have received thus far. Thank you to Alan and Janie for hosting us at their house yesterday. And first thing Alan told me is that he would like me to preach 2 or 3 hours. So I'm going to do my best to, is that right? Or no, not quite. Okay, not quite. All right. Maybe an hour and a half. I don't know. Anyway, I also want to thank Eston and Joe Glover for their hospitality and for keeping Joel's pool clean. He greatly appreciates that. And so, again, thank you all. And for the opportunity we've had to meet so many of you, thank you for that. And we look forward to continuing to get to know you better and to get to spend some good years together serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we read in this passage, Jesus says, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests." And when we think of the word nesting, that conjures up a lot of images. For me, it conjures up the image of an expectant mother preparing a room for her child or children, whatever the case may be. For others, it's preparing a place after they have moved. Both of these have rung very true for Abby and myself in the last several years. Weeks and months. We, of course, moved here this last Tuesday, and Nora joined us about 13 and a half weeks ago, and so this idea of nesting has really been on my mind and this preparation that takes place. And Jesus in this passage is kind of preparing his disciples for what's about to happen. He's helping them to understand what he is doing. Now, this idea of nesting, this almost has a sense of putting down roots. And while this can be a good thing, we need to be mindful of people who are called, sent to go, that nesting can, at its extreme, be very detrimental to who we are and to what we have been called to do. Jesus, in this passage, and certainly in the book of Luke, is on the move. He is constantly going. As it said in the passage, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Says that twice. In another translation, it says he set his face towards Jerusalem in verses 51 and 53. The implication here is that he put all of himself into what he was preparing to do and where he was preparing to go. And again, this is a common theme in Luke. Jesus is on the move, and he is on the move to Jerusalem. He is on the move to his Father's will, to do that which his Father has asked of him. What's interesting with Jesus is he knows exactly what awaits him in Jerusalem. He knows what he is preparing to step into. The persecution, the abandonment of his disciples and others who would be his followers. He knows that his death is coming as well. But he also knows that resurrection is coming. He knows that salvation is coming. He knows that life. And so as he sets his face to his Father's will, he recognizes the difficulty, but he also recognizes the glory, the good and the bad. And I think if you're anything like me, you tend to focus only on the difficulty of the unknown, the difficulty of the future, the difficulty of what lies ahead. And that can cause us to nest, and it can cause us to stop moving. And we need to be mindful that we are called to move. It would have been all too easy for Jesus to nest somewhere, to set up shop, and to stay away from the difficulty of head. He had quite a good following. He probably would have been taken care of for the rest of his life, and there would have been no worries whatsoever. But he knew that it was not God's plan. He doesn't nest. He doesn't remain still or stagnant. He knows that he can't afford to do that. And he knew and knows that we couldn't afford for him to do that. And so in his love and in his grace, he went as he was called. Jesus desires to be perfect as his heavenly Father is perfect. He desires to do that which his heavenly Father has called him to do. John Wesley speaks of this as entire sanctification, sanctifying grace that grows us and matures us in faith. And that is what we are called to do as disciples, not just to become followers of Jesus, but to grow in our understanding of what that looks like, and how we are to do that, and how we can best fulfill the call that Jesus has placed on our lives. And so we have to ask ourselves this morning, how do we set our faces towards Jerusalem? How do we keep from nesting? And how do we become for the kingdom of God? Does anyone know? I'm glad you asked. Setting our faces towards Jerusalem implies this sense of forgiveness, this sense of grace that we are called to and that we are given upon seeking Christ. And we cannot go forward while we're nesting. We cannot go forward until that forgiveness has taken place. Has anyone ever forgiven anybody? Has anybody ever not wanted to forgive anybody? If you don't raise your hands, I'm going to think I'm the only sinner in here, so I really need you all to help cooperate. Okay, thank you. We've all had the opportunity to forgive others. We've all been forgiven in one way or another, and that grace that accompanies that propels us forward. And we cannot go forward while we're staying. We cannot go forward while we are nesting. And the nesting that Jesus refers to, he always talks on many different levels. He doesn't just keep it at base level, but there are always a lot of different meanings to what he is saying. And I don't think he's speaking purely of material nesting, but of spiritual and emotional nesting. Now, I want us to hop in the shoes of James and John here in verse 54 and ask, have you ever wanted to call down fire on someone? Okay, raise your hand, liars. All right. Stop it. I'm going to feel really... I'm not the only one in here that wants, starting to want to do it to some of you that want to raise your hands. We've all wanted to call down fire on someone. We've all been angry. We've all been bitter. We've all had resentment in some form or another. And how many times have we gathered that anger, that bitterness, that resentment, like a bird gathering sticks and twigs for a nest? And we've brought these things to our home. And in fact, we've constructed a home of anger, of bitterness, and resentment. And we've sat and we've brooded. Brooders out there. Unfortunately, what I do. We're quick, I think, to call down fire on others, all the while hoping and pleading with Jesus to give us just one more. Very quick to see the speck, the detriment of the log in our own. Setting our faces towards Jerusalem means we must be a people who are willing and able to forgive. And to receive the grace to forgive. The grace that we have been given in our forgiveness. Disciples of Jesus are called to the same life. Same difficulties that lie ahead. The abandonment, the persecution, death, maybe not physical, but dying to self, But we're also called to resurrection, salvation. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I want to run towards those. Hopefully, by God's grace, we'll be strong enough to get through those in order to get to the life that awaits us. Setting our faces towards Jerusalem also implies a resolute abandon to our Father's will. Being resolute, knowing, having our desire go and do what our Father has called of us. There's another word for this called trust. Anybody have difficulty trusting? Difficulty trusting. It's easy to trust God with some things, right? It's very hard to trust God when it's inconvenient. We have to set our faces towards something that may not be what we were hoping or wanting it to be. Has God ever shown up to you the way you expected Him to? This is where you are. Now, but why do we keep expecting Him to? Right? How frustrating must it be when we keep expecting Him to show up one way and He shows up another? Jesus is determined in this passage to do His Father's will, no matter what the cost. Jesus explains this to some of the would-be disciples in verse 57. He says in verse 58, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but there is nowhere for Jesus, and subsequently nowhere for His disciples to lay their heads." Indeed, when Jesus gives us a task, when our Heavenly Father calls us to something, it is not time to rest, is it? But it is time to go, and it is time to do. Time to act. Time to be about the work that He has called us to. And if you're like me, there have been times you've heard Him call and you've maybe tried to go hide in a den or a nest. I stay away from large bodies of water because Jonah, that was rough. And I definitely don't want that. Of course, I'm scared about what might show up on land, but anyway. Salvation is the easy part, isn't it? That initial relationship with Christ, it's the discipleship afterwards. That's where the rub comes in, right? That's where the forgiveness starts to really take place. That's where I've got to exemplify what Christ has done for me to others, even those. We all have those people, don't we? They're the people that Todd was telling you about earlier. They're the people you need to invite to keep. Yes, we absolutely. We absolutely. When God gives us a task, there is nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to flee to. There's no rest for that work. And we must be determined and ready to do it. Jesus, interestingly enough, later in this passage, He refuses to rebuke the people in the Samaritan village who would not receive Him. And James and John are like, "You want us to do something cool?" And Jesus is like, "Stop it. Ignorant people." But now He speaks sternly. And He has words of rebuke. And these are a couple of some of the hardest things Jesus really says in the Gospels. And He sternly speaks against those who want to follow Jesus on their own terms. How many of us here this morning like to follow Jesus on our own terms? Okay, now you're getting better. You're not all still raising your hands, but yes, you're getting. Some of you probably need to stand when I ask that question. I want to follow Jesus on our own terms. The first one in verse 59, He says, "First, let me go bury my father." It seems like a pretty reasonable request, doesn't it? But Jesus knows what He's really saying. He's really saying, "I'll try next year." Is everyone familiar with the burial customs of the Jewish people in this time? I'm sure some of you are. Well, the deceased would be laid in the tomb, and after about a year or so after their bodies had decayed, they would go and gather the bones, place them in a little box called an ossuary, and then take it to the family crypt. So He wasn't saying, "Give me a couple days and I'll come and follow you." He's basically, "Next year. I'll do this next year," or maybe longer. And by that time, he'll have probably forgotten all about it. Have you ever been excited about something only to find you weren't as excited about it later down the road? You're excited about it. I appreciate it. I don't know. Basically, "I'll follow you next year." Secondly, the second person He comes in contact with in verse 61, He says, "First, let me go say goodbye to those in my house." And Jesus says, "No, he's basically saying, let me go check out my options. Let me go check with the wife, see if she's okay with it. Let me go check and see if these other people are okay with this. Let me see if there's something better going on at home, and maybe I won't do this, right? And Jesus is saying, no, we can't do this. You either follow me or you don't. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But salvation, direction, life, we're going to follow these things. These are some difficult things that he tells us. To both of these would-be disciples, Jesus gives no way out. And he still gives no way out for us today. Now, he isn't telling them that family isn't important. He isn't telling them to shirk their responsibilities, but that their nesting is an obstacle to their faithfulness, to their obedience. And does this ring true for some of us today? How many of us are far more worried about our nests than our fathers were? Did I leave the oven on? Lock the door. Now that's all you're thinking about. Did I? Joe and Esther are like, I really hope the pastor turned off the oven. I did. I didn't even turn it on. Yeah, I think we'll be good. We'll be all right. We hear sirens. We'll run that one. How many of us are more concerned about our nests than our fathers? What can we do to begin to transition that desire in our hearts? How can we begin to set our faces towards Jerusalem? As we begin our journey together today, I pray that we will set our faces towards Jerusalem. I pray that we will set our hearts and our minds and our souls and our strength towards the call of our Heavenly Father, and that we will seek Him first and foremost. I pray that we will see each other through the eyes of grace and to forgive one another as we have been. And I'm going to go on a limb here and ask you to forgive me for the wrongs that I will undoubtedly commit and probably already have to some of you. And I'll ask for that forgiveness right off. And I promise that I will forgive you for those transgressions that you will undoubtedly bring knowingly or unknowingly upon me, because church can be messy. It wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for all the people. So we have to forgive, and I pray that we will forgive each other and see each other through the eyes of grace. To see one another not through the eyes of James and John, but through the eyes of Jesus. I pray that we will be resolute in hearing and responding to God's call together. This isn't my ship to run. While I may be the pastor, I am not the dictator. There is wisdom in community. There is wisdom in discernment. There is wisdom in the things that we will do together. And there is really only folly in the things that we will try to do on our own. And so I pray that we will be resolute together. And I pray that we won't nest, that we won't get comfortable or complacent in the things that we are doing or the things that we will do. And that we won't put anything above our Father's will in our own lives or for the church. I'm gonna tell you this now. I don't have the luxury of taking anyone's side as your pastor. Okay, I'm just gonna get that out right now. I don't have the luxury of that. I have the luxury of hearing all three sides. Your side, their side, and the truth. So again, I ask your forgiveness. It looks like I'm not doing something you think I ought to be doing. But let's not put anything above our Father's will or above our Father's will for Future United Methodist Church. And may we strive to be the people that God has called us to be, not the people we think we should. That sound good? You're nodding your head. You're not raising your hands. May we set our faces towards Jerusalem this morning by putting God first, by making friends for Christ, by uniting with, by ministering to others, and by creating new disciples. Gracious Lord, we thank you this day for the opportunity you have given us again to be in your house. We pray that you would continue to guard us against nesting. May we set our faces, our bodies, our strength to your will, to Jerusalem. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name.